This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the Voice of Truth broadcast has been going out for many, many years under the leadership of the late pastor, L.R. Shelton, who now has gone on to be with the Lord. But we're here each week at this same time with an old-time, old-fashioned gospel message we call the Voice of Truth. And the message you'll hear today is the power of God. Last week, we looked at the holiness of God. And today, it's the power of God. And this is number 411 in this series. We'll be glad to send it to you in booklet form, free and postpaid. Now, you stay tuned for the message, the power of God.
We cannot form a right conception of Jehovah God unless we consider or think of Him as all-powerful as well as all-wise. More and more, as I come in contact with representatives of the religious world, I am convinced that the God of the average religious person today, whether in the pulpit or the pew, is not the God of the Bible, but is a God of their own creation. It is a very dark hour in which you and I live. Today it is. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Someone has said, you may not believe all that Pastor Shelton preaches, but there's one thing about it, he believes it. And I know I believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The religious world is merging into the great apostasy and is being brought under a great delusion, which is preparing it for the acceptance of the Antichrist when he appears on the scene. If God cannot do what he wills and perform or bring to pass all his pleasure, then he cannot be God. That's right. God has the power to execute his will. Now, you put that down and hold it. God, who ordained everything from the beginning, has power to bring to pass what he ordained. In the language of the old Puritan Sharnock, quote, the power of God is that ability and strength whereby he can bring to pass whatsoever he pleases, whatsoever his infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of his will may resolve. As holiness is the beauty of all God's attributes, so power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of the divine nature. How vain would be the eternal counsels if power did not step in to execute them. Without power, his mercy would be but feeble piety, his promises an empty sound, his threatenings a mere scarecrow. God's power is like himself, infinite, eternal, incomprehensible. It can neither be checked, restrained, not frustrated by the creature, unquote. Power belongeth unto God. This is set forth in Psalm 62:11. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Yes, power belongeth unto God. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word stands. And when Psalm 62:11 says, power belongeth unto God, why should God have to speak more than once? We poor, weak mortals like to bring God down to our level and make him as one like unto us, and think of him as not able to perform what he promises, but God has power to bring to pass all his promises and his decrees. God, our God, is able. In Psalms 89:6, we find these words. Listen, for who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Art to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Then in Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? I like to think of my God, the God of the Bible, as the all-powerful one, and he is one who is able to perform all that he wills and desires according to his glory. And who am I to try to stay his hand or even suggest to him? Because the God of the Bible does as he pleases, as he wills, and counsels with no one, not even with you. I don't care who you are. Let's look at our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as he walked among men here on earth. One day a leper approached him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We see the dreaded disease of leprosy flee before his command. One day two sorrowing, weeping sisters led Jesus to the tomb where their brother had been buried 4 days. And Jesus, standing there before that open tomb, said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Here we see death fleeing before the command of our Lord. After his resurrection, he said, I have the keys of death and hell. One day he was in a boat with his disciples on the stormy Sea of Galilee. The waves were rolling, and the boat was out of control. Seemingly death was certain. Then the Lord Jesus stood on the deck of that boat and said, Peace, be still. And the waves lay at his feet like a shepherd dog, so much so until the disciples marveled. But my friend, God has power over the raging waves of the sea. How much more, listen, could he still the raging waves of your heart that is tossed by the power of Satan? My friend, oh, if you only would look to him. Look away from every creature and look to him who made you, who created you. He's able to save you. He who has awakened you to the fact that you're lost and there seemingly is no hope. Your only hope is him. Turn to him, my friend, and look to him. Oh, how many have come to me this week and told me how that peace pervaded their heart when the Lord became their peace. He is our peace. Listen again. One day our Lord stood yonder in Kadera at the edge of the graveyard, and a man who was possessed with a legion of demons stood before him crying, I know thou art the Son of the Most High. Thou art the Holy One. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Come out of him. And the demons came streaming out, leaving him in his right mind. Yes, the demons of darkness obey his command. You know, my friends, I was thinking this week, as I've often thought, all the powers of hell, Satan and all the demon forces of hell, cannot compare with the power of our Lord. They have nothing on him. They cannot cope with him. I praise God for that. No human will, no combined human wills, no combined people. I don't care how many they are, how large a group or how many nations. Our Lord sits in the heavens and laughs at them, as it were. Yes, he does. And our Lord is on the throne. And, you know, my friends, every child of his holiness so surrounds us and overshadows us until Satan can't touch one of God's children apart from him. They can't. And I praise God for it, just like sin surrounds you who are not saved. And Satan, the evil one, has you in his control. When God delivers his child, he surrounds that individual with his holiness until the evil one cannot touch them. Or you live in that state of the holiness of God. And that's the thing that makes you in the image of the Son of God. I wish I had time to go into that with you. But listen. Yes, the demons flee at his command. All diseases flee at his command. Christ must only speak the word, and the fevered brow is cool. The deformed are made perfect. The harlot is cleansed. The dead are raised. The sinner is cleansed. All the power of a sovereign God to take a poor, wretched sinner like me out of the vortex of hell and make me an image of the Son of God. Break my will, conquer my temper, and bring me at the feet of my Lord, crying, "My Lord and my God." Does he mean that to you? I just feel sorry for you infidels and atheists and evolutionists and skeptics and unbelievers. And you fellows, I don't care who you are nor where you are, that's trusting anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And how glorious it is to know him, to walk with him, and be in fellowship with him because of his great power. Oh, the power of God that stopped this sinner one day and said, "Whoa," and stopped me and changed the course of my life and brought me broken at his feet, delivered me from the power of Satan, from the power of sin, and translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. I cannot help but to brag on and exalt and magnify the power of my Lord and my God in my own life. That's right. I could magnify his wisdom and so on. But listen, no awakened sinner need despair. God is able to deliver you. Take him at his word. Trust your case to him and lean mightily upon him. Remember this one thing, that not one creature in all of God's universe has 1 ounce of power save what God gives him. No awakened sinner is able to deliver yourself, but God says in his word, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Then he says again, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Then he says again, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Christ also said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Yes, power belongeth unto God, and it is God who is power to his creature. No sinner has the power to save himself. This power lieth in the will of God. Mr. C.H. Spurgeon says, "God's power is like himself, self-existent, self-sustained. The mightiest of men cannot add so much as a shadow of increased power to the omnipotent one. He is himself the great central source and originator of all power," unquote. Job 38:4 says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? My friend, as we behold the power of the Almighty One and realize that we have no power except Him, this completely breaks our pride down and lays us in the dust. Who is puny little man, a worm of the dust? Who is he who can stand up and debate with the Almighty One? As the Holy Spirit expresses it in Romans 9:20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Why hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? Our God has the right and power to do with his creatures as he wills. The God of the Bible is not only sovereign, all-wise, and holy, but he's all-powerful and is able to bring to pass what he wills. And he does as he wills in heaven and on earth, and no man can stay his hand. This being true, we as God's children need never despair, because he's able to supply all our needs. It is our business to walk in his will and in his way. Let his will become our wills, and our wills lost in his will. As God's word says in Ephesians, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Then in Philippians 4 he says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then as he said to Abraham, under the oaks at Mamre, is there anything too hard for me? Anything too hard for God? As Christ said to his disciples one day, all things are possible with God. Also as Jehovah God said to his prophets of old, the battle is the Lord's. This being true, we should never despair, but should commit all of our ways unto him. Lead not unto our own understanding, and he shall bring them to pass. In Mark 14 we find these words, the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. Let me read that again. Some of you didn't get it. You was listening to something else. Mark 14:62. The Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. Here we find that the word power is used as a name of God. In other words, sitting at the right hand of power means sitting at the right hand of God. From this statement, we get this great truth. God and power are inseparable. God never manifests all his power. We might say there is more power lodged in the nature of God than is expressed in all his works. God is sovereign. He manifests his power as he wills. For instance, in leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, he manifests his power in opening the Red Sea and bringing them over dry shod, and thus delivered his children from the enemy, but let the enemy drown in the depths of the sea. He also manifests his power in sending food from the skies and water from the rocks. The Lord God of heaven exercised his power in loosing Peter from prison when he sent the angel to open the gates and set him free. But he restrained his power and let the king cut off James' head with a sword. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read he delivered Noah from the flood by the ark, but he let the rest of humanity drown. By his power, he delivered Isaac from being slain. Yet, at the same time, he let his only begotten son hang on the cross and pay the supreme price by giving his own life for our sins. And we could cry, hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. By his power, he permitted Moses to be rescued from the hand of the slayers. But at the same time, he permitted thousands of other children to be put to death. By his power, he threw down the walls of Jericho, but he made the children of Israel take the rest of the cities at the point of the sword. Many were delivered by his powers, but others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They sawed asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. Yes, we see from God's word that power belongeth unto God, and He is sovereign. Let me inject here this thought. I've had folks tell me, oh, Brother Sheldon, you had faith. Faith, you could do this and do that. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What faith? You don't have one grain of faith except what God gives you. And that's sovereign. And then God's sovereign to do as He pleases. And we're to trust Him. Now you get that and hold it. All of this frothy stuff that's going around saying, turn your faith loose. And you could do this and do that to the devil. And there's nothing to it except the rottenness of hell. God has nothing to do with that. God is sovereign. He's all-powerful. But He's sovereign with His power. This is because God is sovereign. And no man can dictate to Him, even suggest to Him, in the face of these great facts. The only thing that we saints can do is to cast ourselves upon Him and rest at His feet, wholly submissive unto His will. Awakened sinner, the only course you can take which will bring a blessing is to fall at His feet and cast yourself on His mercy, because He can either save you or damn you. He can either deliver you or leave you where you are. Our God is able to deliver. Our God is able to save. And though He is sovereign in the demonstration of His power, yet I've never seen Jehovah God reject one poor sinner who came to Him with no price in his hand, pleading nothing but the shed blood of Christ on his behalf and asking for mercy. But you must come with one thought in mind, that God doesn't have to save you, that He can do with you as He wills and as He pleases, that your very breath is in His hand, and that you cannot command Him because you have no claim upon God. Come, sinner, come. Come as a guilty one. Come with your mouth shut. Come with all defense gone. Come with all rebellion broken. Come resting at His feet as one who deserves to die. Figuratively speaking, tie a rope around your neck as a symbol that you deserve to die, that you have no argument to make, and that you come as a guilty, condemned sinner, one who deserves to go to hell, and cast yourself completely without any reserve upon His sovereign mercy with one plea that Christ died for sinners like me. Friend, you cannot come any other way. That's the only way you can come. That's the only way God will admit you in His presence. When God holds a scepter of grace out to you, He means for you to come that way. He invites you to come that way. And in coming that way, you can obtain mercy and grace. Otherwise, you'll have to go to hell for your trouble. Now, that's just plain, in a plain nutshell. That's true. Now, God's able to save you. God, who is all-powerful, is able to deliver you. God is willing to save you. And when you come as a guilty, undeserving, hell-deserving sinner with no claims upon God, with no defense, but come believing God Christ who died for you, then He will give you power to become a son of God. You cannot become a son of God within yourself. You are utterly dependent upon God to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are utterly dependent upon God to break the power of Satan on you. You are completely dependent upon God to deliver you from Satan and translate you in the kingdom of the Son of God. That being so, I would not rest until I got to Him completely broken, resting in dust and ashes at His feet. That is where I have to live all the time. That's where I want to live. My daily cry is, Lord, let me live at Your feet in utter repentance, clothed in sackcloth and ashes, completely submissive as Your bond slave with no will of my own, but lost in the will of God. Isn't that marvelous? That's grace. And let Him close. Let me give you a beautiful picture of the power of God as He walks in the sphere of His creation. In Job 9:8, we find these words, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and walketh upon the waves of the sea. Here we see Jehovah God walketh, not runneth, no haste, no hurry, upon the waves of the sea. we see here his uncontrollable power. Then let's turn to Job 22, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. These words tell us of the immensity of his presence, that all heavens are under his control. Praise his name. Now let's turn to Psalms 104. Who layeth the beams of his chamber in the waters, who maketh the clouds of his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Here we see Jehovah God walking upon the wings of the wind, which would signify the swiftness of his operations. Our God has everything under perfect control. The worlds are held in their place by the word of his power and move with such precision that astronomers can tell you when the sun will be eclipsed 1,000 years from now. My, I cannot understand how any human being can scan the heavens, watch the twinkling of the stars, the rising of the sun, without exclaiming, "Behold the footsteps of the Almighty."
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis reminding you we're here every week at the same time and bringing you these gracious old-time, old-fashioned. Do you love the old-fashioned preaching? None of this fluff that we have today, so much of it. But we're just here, old sinners, saved by grace, bringing you. The Scriptures tell us to go ye into all the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. That's what we do here. And we've been here many, many years. We don't have any silk handkerchief preaching or fluff, as folks call it. And no, we're just old-fashioned, bringing you the old-fashioned. Someone called me the other day and said, "Pastor, what do y'all preach?" I said, "We preach the gospel. We preach that Christ died for sinners. Man is a sinner by nature and by choice, yes, and by God's decree. We preach that. And we preach that man is capable of being saved under the power of the Holy Spirit. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can a sinner be saved. Have you ever seen yourself lost, my friend? Wake up there, would you? Would you wake up and listen? We're here each week at the same time with another old-time, old-fashioned message. The message you heard today was the power of God. Oh, what power, my friend. We the Lord is not some little influence, no. The power of God. God created everything, my friend, and man is so disrespectful now, respectful of God. Don't give him any credit for anything. But we here at the radio mission, we want to honor the Lord. And we bring you these messages in hoping and praying that the Lord will take them and use them. But you remember our mailing address. It's the Voice of Truth, Radio Missions, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And if you would help us with the broadcast, just a little if you could. I understand now, times is hard. But the Lord supplies our needs here, have been now for many, many, many years. And you pray for us. Would you do that? Old Trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis, coming on down to the end of life. You pray for me. Lord, give me strength to go on. So we'll be back with you next week at this same time, and you can order this message by number, and it's number 411. Goodbye, and God bless you.